Welcome to the Daily Real Estate Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Josiah Smelser. The Daily Real Estate Investor Podcast is the shared journey of building a real estate investment property business from square one. Join me as we learn together how to conquer the real estate game to reach financial freedom. Together, we will learn from people in all areas of real estate and business in our personal trek towards escaping the rat race. Be you. Do the work you love. Play the long game. What's up, folks? We're back for another episode of the Daily Real Estate Investor. Man, today I've got a good one. I've got my friend, Naaman Taylor. He goes by Taylor. And Taylor is active duty military. And on top of that, he's making some great progress as a real estate investor using the BRRRR strategy. To review, the BRRRR strategy is buy, rehab, rent, refinance, and repeat. And Taylor's using this strategy, leveraging his VA loan that you can get through your service in the military. And this is just another trick, basically, that you can use to build your portfolio. And Taylor's really doing well with this. He's also used some traditional loans, but I think you're going to really find it interesting, all the things you can do with the VA loan. Taylor came to me a while back and asked if I'd be willing to do some coaching. And I've typically turned that down, but decided to give this a shot. And Taylor's given me a lot of positive feedback on the experience. He's really making a lot of progress. I'm open to doing this on a limited basis, depending on your situation. So if you think I could help you in some form or fashion, just reach out, shoot me a message on Instagram or an email or something like that, and I'd be happy to chat with you about what you need. It's not really my goal with all this, but I am happy to try to help you build your business and helps me make a little income as well. I'm not about charging these exorbitant fees that a lot of these guys charge. So anyway, I think you're really going to enjoy Taylor's episode. So without further ado, sit back, relax, and have a rotten time. Taylor, man, I'm excited to have you on the podcast today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here as well, man. Thanks for having me on here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, let's dive into your story. I know tell us about your current setup and how you're investing from abroad and how you got interested in real estate.
Yeah, I'll just start. Yeah. So I'm from Cleveland originally, and I've been adopted by Texas here in the last 5-6 years where my wife's from. I've been married for 3 years, active duty military for 11 years. I got 9 more to go till I'm retired. I've spent some time in Colorado, Texas, in the States. I've been deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, spent some time in Korea, and I'm currently here in Germany for the last 3 years and been investing overseas from here. When I was in the States, I used my VA loan strategy to acquire properties and then move and refinance and that sort of deal. And then since I've been in Germany, I've been doing the BRRRR strategy from here and back in Fort Worth, Texas, and around the base there in Killeen and Harker Heights and those areas.
Cool. So how long have you been doing the military thing?
Yeah, so I bought my first deal, my VA deal, when I was 23, about 4 years into me being in active duty service.
Okay.
So like I said, I'm 11 years total right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I bought my first deal 6 years ago, almost 7 years ago now, a duplex at a house hacked. And then I used it again in the same area to buy a single family home that I sold recently.
Yeah. So you've been in the military 11 years. What's the typical term for military service?
Yeah, most people do about 3 or 4 years and get out, which is a great strategy because you're going to get that VA loan eligibility. You're going to get your college paid for, you know, your GI Bill, and you might even get some sort of medical disability by just doing 3 or 4 years. But I'm thinking more long-term. I want to collect this. Basically, it'll be passive after 20 years of you can retire at 20 years. So I'll start collecting, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 here in about 20 years, depending on what, you know, rank you retire at.
Yeah. And what rank are you right now?
Right now, I'm a staff sergeant.
Cool. I saw some stuff on Instagram about you training people how to shoot and stuff. It looked pretty cool.
Yeah, that's one of the things I do now is I'm an instructor out here, and I run this USERA marksmanship trainer course that I created myself, actually, to fill a training need for the Army, and it's an awesome class. I enjoy doing it.
Nice. Well, cool, man. Well, investing from abroad, I don't know that I've had anyone on the show yet that is investing from outside of the U.S. in the U.S., so this is going to be a lot of fun to talk about. As you well know, because you and I are good friends, we've worked together on real estate strategy and whatnot. We bought the lion's share of our portfolio out of state, and it's 12 hours from me. I think there's a lot of similarities with investing from overseas, except you have a bigger time difference going on and some international complications like wire transfers and that kind of thing. But, investing 12 hours away from you requires some systems in place, and requires you to take some steps to be able to pull everything off that are similar to investing from outside the U.S. So, what's your overall goal with real estate investing first, and then we'll dive into kind of some nuances of your story.
Yeah, my friend Shaq actually that I work with here. Shaq from Smart Money Approach. He calls me the international real estate investor. It's really funny.
The international man of mystery.
Yeah, he cracks me up with that every time. I love it though. He's a good friend of mine. We're partnering on some stuff, and it's a lot of variables coming from here. But like you said, it is very similar to investing out of state. I'm 7 hours ahead of Texas where I invest, and most people are waking up when I'm getting off work. So I love the time difference for me because I have a full-time job. Some of my goals for real estate right now, I really want to do this real estate and reps thing that I've been doing recently where we kind of work out and talk real estate. I want to host 10 of those before I leave. I'm up at about 8 right now. So I got 2 more to go before the end of the year here for me. And then we host a real estate investors meetup group here as well. And I wanted to host 10 of those this year. And I started all these goals in about June because I wasn't too heavy into real estate investing as far as like the burst strategy and helping others. And I kind of had like a mental switch halfway through the year. And I made some new goals halfway through the year and just got to them immediately. Some of my short-term goals before the end of the year to own 10 properties and partner up with 5 people to help them do their first deal. So between those meetings and then partner up with helping 5 people do their first deal, those are my short-term goals right now.
Cool. So how many doors do you own today?
As of today, 15 right now. We're going to turn one of them into a flip just because I didn't love the numbers after it all came out. So we're just going to flip that one. But I try and buy and hold everything that I put under contract and rehab.
Okay. And you said your goal was 10 properties. So what's your average property, a fourplex or?
No. So I have four single family homes, a fourplex, a triplex, and 2 duplexes.
Gotcha. Okay. And so your goal for this year is 10 deals. What's your bigger picture goal with real estate investing?
Yeah. So I realized really quickly, I bought my first Burr property right at like maybe a month after I talked to you. I'm not the analysis paralysis guy. I get right into it. I'm not afraid to, I have a pretty high risk tolerance. So I got right into it right after I learned what I thought was my process. And I've since then got a much better process from learning it, but I've did 7 deals since June. And I realized like, this is really easy to do for me and it's sustainable and I can do it quickly, but it's a lot of work. So I don't want to own 60 single family houses. And I know a lot of people do that and they're successful at it. And I'll help all, everybody that knows me get their own 10, 20 houses, whatever they want to do. But I want to get into the commercial side and get, 100 doors in one place.
Yeah, absolutely. So is this, are you going for cash flow to give you financial freedom, or what's your why to this?
Yeah. So the financial reason, the way I invest financially right now is I mix it up big time. So like I said, I got the fourplex for the cash flow all the multi, the 2 to 4 deals are all like big cash flow plays. And then the single family houses are a little bit of cash flow, but mainly appreciation, because those single family homes are just going to appreciate at a more rapid rate than those, that fourplex or triplex that I own. So I kind of mix it up as far as whether, and I don't have one specific way I like to invest. I like to do a bunch of different things so that one of them will work really well and some of them will work okay, but I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket per se.
Right. But is your, when I'm asking about your why, I'm talking about what's your purpose with all this? Are you trying to accumulate money for retirement? Is it about cash flow, or what are you shooting for as your goal here?
Everybody, we're trying to get time. That's really it. I got 9 years left in the Army to retire, and then I don't want to work too much more after that. I want to help my mom retire. I want to help my friends get wealth. So like I said before, like all my buddies, they're all investing with me now, and we're all going to, you know, work together and build these portfolios up. Everybody's going to get their 10 deals, and here in 15 years, we'll all be able to, you know, stop working probably.
I love it. So, yeah. And, you know, different people invest for different reasons. Some people really want to have a lot of money. That's to me, money is representative of your ability to buy yourself financial freedom. So I'm like you, I'm after time freedom. That's the equivalent of wealth to me. I think there's a difference in being rich and being wealthy. Wealthy to me is time freedom. Rich just means you have a lot of money, not necessarily time freedom. So I would rather be wealthy with time freedom than have a lot of money on my hands, but have all my time monopolized. And you're like, well, if you're rich, couldn't you just buy yourself time freedom? And you would think so, but a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people, even if they're making $1 million a year, are working 90 hours a week at a job they're not crazy about, and they'll do it the rest of their life and turn around and have a ton of money, you know, when they die, that will go to their kids and stuff. But they didn't have a lot of time freedom to do stuff they really loved. And there will be some regrets there with a lot of them. So I'm after the time part of it as well. And the cool thing for me is I work like a madman for, you know, 2 to 3 years on building this. And we're at a point now where the passive income is large enough that we're already experiencing a lot of time freedom. I work way less than I used to, and I work on stuff I like way more. And, you know, it's such a benefit of doing this stuff. If you just go after it hardcore, is getting that time freedom, because, you know, I would rather have the work-life balance that I have right now than have, you know, $10 million in the bank, because I like my work-life balance more. And I don't know if that makes sense, but it's to me, the time freedom is what you're going for. Like the $10 million is no good to you if all of your time's gone, right? So, and you can have both, right? But some people don't choose that. And so that's what my priority is as well. So,
I don't need that much more money. I'd like to have some more, obviously, to do, you know, things I want to do, but it's more about, I just want to hang out with my wife and go on vacation.
Absolutely. And you've got a really cool strategy with hitting your 20-year mark with your military time and then having that income as well. And you're saying that's like about $5,000 a month?
Yeah, it just depends on what you retire at, right? So right. I'm guessing on average, I'll probably be able to pull in around 6 or 7 at the most.
That's great.
I'll get 100% for the medical as well.
Yeah.
So that's a big bonus too. So everybody said they want to create passive income, but if you just come put 20 years in the Army, you can get some.
Yeah. But people don't want to put the work in though. Come on, man. I mean, you know, they want to have a lot of passive income, but they don't want to work for it. See, that's the problem.
I don't think they realize that they're working anyway.
Exactly.
You're going to have to work. Why not just come do these 20?
You're going to work doing something. You might as well work hard at something that will get you ahead and plan out something that makes sense. So when your 20 years is done, you're going to have, you know, $6,000 or $7,000 coming in from your military compensation. And then on top of that, you're going to have all this real estate income. So you're going to be in a really great situation. And I think that's really smart of you to plan and be going after this right now. How old are you, Taylor?
I just turned 30.
30 years old. So, you know, and how much you're 11 years into the military. So you got 9 more years. So, you know, I'm 39. Yeah. So when you're my age, your 20 years will be completed in the military. And at that point, technically you could retire from the military and start getting that military compensation. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet. So really in theory, by age 40, you wouldn't really, I mean, you wouldn't really have to work if you didn't want to. You would have enough income coming in just from your military stuff. If y'all live below your means and, you know, not spending a lot of money.
That's the lifestyle you're after. I want a lot more than that. That's just going to be like maybe like 25% of the income I'm looking for.
Yeah, sure.
But if you look at people say they want that passive income at about $200 a door. And you're looking at $6,000 a month from the military. That's a lot of doors you got to own, you know, to collect all that money. So
absolutely,
and you get it the rest of your life, you know. So it's not it's only a little bit of time, you know. So
and you've also got health benefits, which is very expensive for people like me who run their own businesses. My health expense is bigger than my mortgage, so. So anyway, let's talk about your first deal. I know you've done some house hacking, and for those that aren't familiar with that term, house hacking is living in a property that you've invested in, you know, using it as a rental as well. And this is a really great way to build a portfolio for any of you who are listening in and you're wanting to get into real estate investing. You don't have any real estate investments right now. House hacking is the way I started investing. It's the way Taylor started investing. And let's walk through your first house hack, Taylor.
Yeah, so one of my goals was to help 5 people do their first deal, and I always try to go with the house hack approach first. My first deal was a duplex in Harker Heights, Texas, which is right outside of Fort Hood, the military base down there. And I used my VA loan to purchase it. My mortgage was around $1,300, and I could charge $1,000 for one side of the rent. And then I also got a roommate. So I was 23 years old. I was really young, and I had never owned a house before, but I knew I didn't want to pay rent. So as soon as I was able to live off base, that's what I did. I figured out a way to, you know, pay as least amount as possible. And I didn't know that term house hacking. I just knew I didn't want to pay any rent or even pay my own mortgage. So I hired a property management company that had good reviews that also helped me buy the place. I got a roommate. I wanted almost like no responsibility. So I pawned everything off. It was a new build duplex, so I didn't have to do any maintenance, anything like that. And I charged my roommate like $500 to live there. So I was like making $200 to stay in this place and just paying the utilities. And it was the ultimate house hack that I didn't even know I was pulling off, you know, 7 years ago.
Yeah, that's awesome. So the way we did our first house hack is we bought a duplex in a really nice area of Dallas, and one side was vacant. The other side was already occupied paying rent. We moved in. Well, we fixed up the unit we were going to move into ourselves. Moved in there. And about that time, the other unit, they were on month to month, decided they wanted to move out. So that was actually perfect because we just went in and fixed up the other unit. The rents when we moved in there, I think were $1,200 a month. And we were able to raise the rent to $1,700 on that side. And that all but covered our mortgage payment by $200. So we were essentially living in a great part of Dallas for $200 a month, which is pretty much impossible if you don't do something like this. So, and then we moved out, we made great money on that property when we sold it, and it was primary residence. So we were able to 1031. Of course, a portion of that was an investment property. So you talk to your CPA about the tax implications of that, but that was a really great way for us to get started. And I even did a house hack when I was single, with my first single family. I bought it, lived in one room. There were 4 rooms and rented 3 of the rooms out to my buddies, similar to what you were doing. And my entire mortgage was covered, and pretty much all I was paying was a fraction of the utilities. And I even had profit from the rent, so that was even covering the utilities. So I was living for free. And this is a really great way to get started, building your portfolio. So have you continued to do house hacks, or how have you progressed from that first one?
Yeah. So I lived there for about 18 months, saved a bunch of money up. And then I actually used my VA loan again in the same area, to buy a single family house, and did exactly what you just said. I rented out rooms to my buddies and I lived there for free. And I, you know, now I was collecting some rent from that duplex too. So I kept mine. that started collecting rent. And the same lady that lived there when I first bought the place lives there to this day. She's lived there for 7 years. I've never raised her rent because I think she's awesome and takes care of the place. So I'm like, hey, if she's going to take care of the place, what's another $25 than me? So,
yeah.
And then the single family that I bought in House Hacked, I sold it earlier this year and I got great appreciation from it. And I was able to not pay any taxes because in the military, if you live there two out of the last 15 years, you don't have to pay any capital gains taxes on that money.
Nice. I love it. So, and then from there, after that second house hack, have you continued to do house hacks to build your portfolio? Because I know you've got this VA loan that can be leveraged, and I want to talk about that too. But how have you approached building your portfolio after the second one?
So after the second one, I ended up having to deploy to Iraq. So then I went to Iraq for 6 months, and then I came back, and I had 2 months, and I had to move to Germany. So I wasn't able to use it again immediately because – you know, I wasn't living there, but my wife was able to. So we bought her a fourplex that she lives in one of the units, and we rent out the other three, and we cash flow still on that. So that's where my fourplex comes into the deal. And all these deals are no money down. Even the closing costs can be rolled into the loan. And the good thing about the VA loan now is the House of Representatives Bill 299 has completely took the limits off of your VA loan. So you can just keep moving and using this thing and have unlimited amount of money from the VA. And just recently there was a Marine in San Diego that used this loan, and he was on my buddy's podcast, and he bought a fourplex for $1.2 million with no money down. And so it's a great tool. People just got to know how to, you know, use it correctly. And I mean, you can acquire some good properties and make some good money by using this VA loan.
Yeah, that's amazing. And this is one thing I love about real estate investing is there are different little nuances and niches that you can find that you can really specialize in, become very competent in, and really gain an advantage with. And using the VA loan is one of these, something obviously I can't do, but you people that have military experience and are in the military have this ability to use this VA loan. So let's talk about it at a high level. And you just mentioned some of the details, but let's talk about what you're able to do with this VA loan and what the rules are.
Yeah. So it's kind of similar to your other loans. You shop it the same way. You can be competitive with this too. So you don't have to use different lenders to get better rates. It's going off of your credit score, kind of like everything else. There's a funding fee that's involved, but there are guys that are active duty that have Purple Hearts that can get that waived. Or they're like, you know, some of these guys that are missing limbs can't, before they had to pay that funding fee. And now, you know, it's all covered by the VA. All that changed 1 January 2020. And you used to have to pay 25% of the loan overage if you went over the cap that was in the state. But like I said before, there's no more limits on that. And the VA guarantees your loan at 25%. And that's why a lot of people are willing to fund VA, because if, you know, you put 0% down, you got no skin in the game. But the VA is giving you a guaranteed 25% coverage. So that's why a lot of the lenders will give you that money. And the new thing, though, you have to move the 50 miles away from your current work. So you have to have, like, some sort of orders, or your work has to move you 50 miles to, like, you can't just buy the house next door after a year anymore. The strategy is to, you know, buy it, live in it for a year, and then refinance it to a conventional loan, or sell it and then buy another place, right? So that's the kind of strategy that I teach people, and to buy in the high appreciating areas so you can get that equity in the home, and to buy at a discount. It's the same thing. Shop at a discount. Don't just offer a full price on anything.
Yeah. Yeah, so a couple questions pop up in my mind. You're buying with no money down, so you're essentially, you could, if you're paying market value, owe 100% of what the thing is worth. That's why you're saying to buy at a discount, right? Are you able to use a VA loan to buy something that is distressed and do construction on it, or does it have to be in average stabilized condition to use that loan?
That's a great question, and I cannot wait to use this loan. It's called a 203K VA loan.
Oh, there we go.
You can buy a distressed property. Right now, I've had a hard time finding lending for it because of COVID. everyone kind of the pool of money has dried up out there. Nobody wants to give us the money for the 203K VA. I've called people and got people on the phone, and as soon as I find one that lends, I want to say internationally, but across the United States, I'm going to push that out on my Instagram page and just let everybody know they're going to get a ton of volume, because that's a great way to just get 100% funding and make a ton of equity. So we're looking to get to do that kind of thing. It's basically a live-in burr that you can do 100% funded. It's the best thing, so I can't wait to use that loan, but it's a great opportunity that they offer.
That is the first time I've heard of the 203K VA loan. That's wild. I'm glad they have that in place. That makes sense, because I was my understanding previous to that was that they're not going to lend you construction costs and stuff. So, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I'd love to hear how your experience goes with using that.
Yeah, it's grossly underutilized because most people aren't investors and they just want to buy a nice house. Nobody wants to buy a bad house, So if people are able to take that mind shift and understand this 203K VA is an unbelievable thing to use, then there'll be a lot of people in the Army making a lot of money, because honestly, we don't get paid enough money to do this job. So that's one of the ways that we're just not educated on how to use that deal.
Yeah. What are the rules around what you can and can't buy with that VA loan?
So if you're just using regular VA, you can't buy a distressed property. It has to pass the VA, it has to look good. So it has to pass inspection. That's the word I was looking for. It has to pass the inspection and meet all the criteria. The cool thing about a VA loan too is it's an assumable loan. So because we're buying them at 100% owed, say in 2 years you don't get the appreciation, you got to move. Another service member, and I haven't done this yet, but I've heard about it, can just take over your loan, which is awesome, because you don't go into foreclosure it's hard to rent things and cash flow when you owe, 95% of the loan.
Yeah.
So to just, move, let someone else take over your VA loan and then go use yours again and somewhere else is an awesome strategy you can do as well.
Yeah. And if you pay 100% of what something's worth, because you're just wanting a nice house, then you move out and you're wanting to keep it as a rental and you go do your refi and, it's maybe appreciated 5% or something, you've still got to come up with 15% to put down on that thing to be able to refinance it. And if you're not planning for that, you may not be able to pull that off, and then you have to sell it. So that's why it's important, if you're trying to build an investment property portfolio using the VA strategy, you got to do it right on the front end when you buy. And this 203K VA loan would give you a great opportunity for that. So you can really do the burr strategy on value add stuff. But if you're going in buying when it's completely fixed up and stabilized, you're going to have to make some low offers, right? To get deals where you've got some meat on the bone where you could refi. And maybe a strategy is staying in a VA property 2 or 3 years before you move to give it a chance to appreciate some.
Yeah, I tell people, to if they can't buy in high appreciation, to just buy 2 to 4 family, because a realtor that I work with told me if people bring in $10,000-$15,000 to a deal to get out of it so they don't foreclose, that's terrible, And I'm like, just because they don't have the equity in the home. So a lot of it is how you buy, the property. I try to buy as distressed as I can by the VA, and sometimes they make them, because sometimes I want appraise, right? Because I'm looking at a terrible property, because that's what I want, right? I want a bad property so I can fix it myself and get that equity. And the VA will say, hey, you got to fix this, this, and this. And then the owner will fix a lot of that. And then there's still a lot of stuff that needs to get fixed, but it'll barely pass, So that's one of the things that I've done.
Yeah. Yeah. There's obviously positives and negatives to any investing strategy. I always like looking at both of them. The upside to this is you can use this loan to buy stuff with no money out of pocket. You could build multi-million-dollar portfolio just like you're doing, end up very wealthy from using the strategy. The downside would be you're not smart about what you're doing, and you go and you pay 100% of what something's worth in an area that's not appreciating or not appreciating rapidly. Let's say you know, 1 year later, you're being moved and deployed somewhere else and you need to move. You go to, you know, you go to refi your property. You don't have any equity in it. And you don't have the 20% down to, that you need to come up. Let's say your property's 200 grand. You don't have $40,000 to put down on this thing. So you go to sell it. Well, you know, your agent looks at it and says, well, this is worth 200. You're like, well, I bought it for 200, but you got to sell it for 200. You're going to be paying 6% to just the agents. And then you got closing costs. So we'll say there's 7% costs associated with the sale of the property. That's going to be $14,000 that you got to come up with. So in theory, you could buy for no money down, but the danger is if you're not buying well and being smart on the front end, and the thing has not gone up in value, and you would have a little principal pay down from that 1 year, but very little on the front end of a 30-year deal. It doesn't, you don't pay down very much. You could be coming out of pocket with 10 to 15 grand just to get out of your VA property. So be smart. If you're using this strategy, be smart on the front end. And, you know, if you know it's worth 200, try to get it for 180 or something, or 170, like try to get a good deal. And the thing is, you can use this loan as long as it passes the VA inspection. So just be patient until you find a deal you're getting below market. And I would also suggest buying in areas that are going to be going up in value to protect you from this issue of being, you know, being basically upside down. It doesn't seem like you're upside down if you owe 200 and it's worth 200, but if you got to pay 10 to 15 to get out of it, you're underwater on it in my mind. So,
yeah, I know a guy that, bought a house, half a duplex 10 years ago in a market, brand new build. And then the market went down and he's owned this place 11 years. And I was running the number, helping him run the numbers the other day. So I'm thinking this guy's got great equity, right? He's been paying on 11 years. And, we run the number, and like after everything, he would make like $1,000.
Yeah.
Because that market went down and it doesn't appreciate. And he bought it brand new with a VA loan, you know, and he's been renting this place for a long time too. So I'm like, man, this is incredible, but it's how you buy it and you know what you're able to rent for in some of these military towns. This isn't that great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, is there a limit on the dollar amount you can spend to buy a VA loan?
No, not anymore. As long as you can get approved. You just, you know, again, you got to understand how this works. I don't think the bank will sell you too much house, but not too much more than what you can afford. So don't go out there and get a, you know, $1 million loan if you don't have any reserves, you know? So yeah. I'm sure that kid that bought the thing in San Diego probably had a good amount of reserves from the bank, you know?
Yeah. So there's really no limit on the purchase price of a VA loan. Of course, they're going to run you through all the same qualification metrics that you would for conventional. What about anything 1 to 4 family is fair game? Do they do 5 units and bigger?
So I am not an expert on that, but I've heard that if you do it with another person, you can go up to 8 units. Like me, let's say me and my friend combined our loan together. I might be speaking wrong about this, but this is what I've heard. And I haven't actually read about it, but that's what he told me. But I'm just tracking 1 through 4. That's all I've ever used my loan for.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, let's talk about your real estate and reps deal you're doing. It's really cool. Love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So passion of mine is just working out, and I love just working out with people and bringing that energy, having a good time, playing some music. You know, I'm a big advocate of working out and just good health. Not just, you know, everyone can make some money, but how do you feel when you're making that money? You know, can you move good?
Yeah.
How's your energy levels? You know, a lot of people wake up feeling awful. You know, I wake up with high energy a lot of the times, and all my friends love to work out with me. So I've become like the workout guy and the real estate guy for everybody, the army guy for a lot of people. You know, I'm like, so I wear a lot of different roles for people, and real estate and reps help me kind of mold a lot of that together, because I can, we do workouts and we'll talk real estate, or we'll talk real estate and do a workout. And it's just kind of helped me bring a lot of people that are interested in real estate to a workout, because we do a meetup as well. And not everybody wants to work out, right? Everybody's like, you know, I want to hear about your real estate. So we'll do the meetups as well. But a lot of people, because we're in the army, a lot of guys like to work out, and a lot of girls like to work out as well. And we get after it, and we're going to drop a short video here soon. We did a little collaboration with everybody recently. It was a lot of fun. It's just a way to kind of raise awareness for real estate and working out in the same sense.
That's awesome, man. Well, and you were on Bigger Pockets Bigger Pockets Rookie Show recently. What episode is that if people want to go check that out?
Yeah, it was the episode right before yours, episode 24. I had a good time on there with Ashley and Felipe. I had a lot of fun. It was a good time.
Yeah, I enjoyed that episode. It was fun. You did a good job.
I got a lot out of your episode 225, that appraisal, because yeah. That was probably one of my weaker points of knowledge. And since I've watched that episode, I've really dug into how to help my appraisal get better. That's really what's really important for everybody. It seems to be the thing that knocks everybody down. You know, it's like,
yeah,
all right, got your contract, I bought it. You know, I rehabbed it, and it's like, oh, it's not worth what I thought. And so I found out a really good way to add value and understand how that process works and everything like that. So,
yeah, if you've got appraisal questions, they had me come on there and fired appraisal questions at me, and it's episode 25 on the Bigger Pockets Rookie Show. And I was on the Bigger Pockets OG show, the big one. I think it's episode 387. Part one and two. There were two episodes there of just like my story and stuff. You guys want to check that out. So Taylor, where can people connect with you and find out more about you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at uncommon_denominator1. You can find me there. I'm also on Facebook at Naaman Taylor. And those are my main two handles is really what I use.
Very cool, man. Well, this has been awesome. Thanks for sharing your story with us. And yeah, I'm looking forward to continuing to watch your progress and success and stuff. And when are you going to be in the States next?
I'm actually going to be back in about 30 days. I'm excited.
Sweet.
Yeah, I've had a good time traveling over here, hit a bunch of countries, spent a lot of time in a lot of cool places. But I miss my wife. She doesn't live here. She lives in Texas. So I'm ready to get back and spend some time with her and continue to grow my marriage and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you guys and all your service and what you do for us. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, cool, man. We'll wrap this one up and we'll catch you next time.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Josiah. It was an honor. I appreciate it. Hope you had a good time doing this. Yep. It's good for me.
I did, man. Thanks a lot. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please connect with me on Instagram at Daily Real Estate Investor or via email at josiahsmelser@gmail.com. My new book titled Dream It and Build It, How to Crush Your Real Estate Investing Goals is out. You can get it either in digital or physical format on Amazon. Once you've read the book, please leave me a review. Tune in next time for another episode of the Daily Real Estate Investor as we both join in our financial freedom journey.